Back to learning Tainus together. Today we're learning Daf Yud Zayin in the merit of the hostages that return home swiftly and speedily. The soldiers to be saved, Israel shall emerge victorious. And today we're continuing learning about the fast days and the appropriate way one acts in the fast days, the additional brachos, as well as talking about the mishmaros, the Gaf Kohanim, and how they should conduct themselves and comport themselves vis-a-vis wine and getting haircuts. So let's begin. Al Rishonos Hu Omer, Mishanas Avram. The first of the additional brachos, we say, who answered Avram? Tana says the Braisa, Yesh Machlav and Saklav, Eliyahu Tefillah Lishmo. Some switch the bracha of calling out of Elisha and the prayer of Shmuel. Mishnah Gai Shmuel, now I understand why Shmuel, we use the word prayer, Ksibet Tefillah, Ksibet Tzakah, because the scripture says prayer and the scripture says calling out in connection with him. Thus, we see why it's said here. Elagabe Eliyahu, it says prayer, but it doesn't say calling out, crying. So Elisha says, answer me, Hashem, answer me. That's as if he's calling out. Okay. So the six and seven, really six additional. We said it's just considered seven because we consider the elongated bracha of redemption to be also counted as one of seven. So we say who went to Yonah and after who went to David. Michti, Yonah bust David, Shlomo. Yonah lived after, subsequent to David and Shlomo, my time actually racist. Why did we mention him first in order of blessings? Why first? Because we want to conclude with you as mercy on the land, meaning because this is all about the drought. And since David's bracha ends, you has mercy on the land, we say it afterwards, even though chronologically, David and Shlomo lived prior to Yonah. Tanya, Mishum Silvus Omer, Baruch Mishmashwa Ramim. The last bracha ends off, he humbles the haughty. And by humbling the haughty, humbles the haughty, it's the people realize, oh, it's not Koch Nesin Yad, it's not me, rather, it's God who causes it to rain and causes me to have the bounty and blessings I need. Fine. Shlosh Tainas Rishonos, Anchi Mishma Sinai of Lomash Minim. The first three fast, the members of the Mishma fast, but not completed. So again, there was the Kohanim, were divided into Mishmaros groups. Each group got their week of the year, and then on a particular day of that week, the Beis Av, again, a further subdivision, they served. And whereas the men of the Mishmar, they were the pinch hitters in the event that the Beis Av got tired or couldn't finish out or needed extra help. Why do we say the men of the Mishmar can drink wine at night but not during day? Again, because we're concerned, perhaps although it's not their day, it's just their week, what happens if the Anshe Beis Av get too tired? It's too much for them. They need to ask for help. So they could turn to the Anshe Mishmar, and if they're drunk, they can't serve. So why do we say the members of the Beis Av can't drink neither in day nor at night? They chain Oskin Tumin Bavoda, because they're constantly busy in the service. You know, there's things to do at night, even in the temple. So because of that, therefore they can never drink their day and night over that 24-hour period. The kind of Umar called Cohen, Shimakir Mishmaratum Mishmaris Beis Av, Sholo, Yodish Beit Av Kavusham. It says a Kohen who knows his Mishmar and his Beis Av and knows this is the day of that it would be in the temple, they can't drink wine that whole day. Person knows his Mishmar, doesn't know the particular Beis Av, but knows this is the week of his Beis Av, that his Beis Av was in. The person goes, look, I don't know, I'm not serving now, whatever reason. I know this is the week that I would be serving, but I don't know which day it is. You can't drink wine all week. Okay, in a mishmar beis av shalom, a person doesn't know his mishmar or his beis av. The other beis av is kavun and shalom, but knows for certain that his beis av had a week of the temple. Just doesn't know when that week is. Also, lishos yain kol shoni, can't drink wine all year round, since it could be his day in the temple. He doesn't know. Rabbi Omar ani also lishos yain laolam. Rabbi says, look, what you're basically saying is that Cohen can never drink wine because what in the event that this is the day where he's supposed to be serving. So I will maaseh shtok kakolsi. He goes, what can I do that the whole idea that he can't drink wine is because he doesn't know when the temple is. And since it's been destroyed, basically, we're going to do away with this this halacha. Because again, he's not doing any voting right now either way. So therefore, what gives the Kohen Han the allowance to drink wine nowadays? Maybe they drink on a day when they're not allowed to. Okay, Rabbi, according to Rabbi, basically said, nowadays, there's no way to know. And the only reason they're drinking, they would not be allowed to drink. The only reason they're not following this halacha is because there's no temple, and therefore, it doesn't apply. We said the Anshe Mishmar and the men of the Ma'amid, who are those representing Jewish people, can't get haircuts or launder their clothing all week, or they can only do so on Shabbos. My time was the reason. because we don't want them to enter into the week when they're unkempt. We want them to enter in looking well-dressed and well-kempt, and therefore, we say you can't get a haircut during that week. Tanur Rabbanan. Melech Misbar Chol Yom. A Jewish king must have a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol Be'er Shabbos Lev Shabbos. Kohen Gadol once a week. Kohen Hedyo Achas Shoshim Yom. Kohen Hedyo has it once every 30 days. Melech Misbar Chol Yom. At time, what's the reason Amar Rav Abba Rav Zvidu, the reason that Melech gets a haircut every day, because the pasuk says, Amar Kra, Melech Yofyo Techazena Einecha. Your eyes should behold the king in his beauty. And therefore, we see that that he should be constantly making sure he looks a certain way. Because each week with new Mishmar, it changes, and they're going to get a new haircut. The Kohen Gadol should get a haircut in honor of the incoming Mishmar. So he looks well groomed. Because it used the word pear, which means like a lot of hair with regards to here and with regards to Nazir. It says by a Kohen, they should not shave their head and tresses they shall not grow, meaning a lot of hair, an afro. It says by the Nazir, he should be holy, he should grow an afro, effectively a lot of hair on his head. Just as a Nazir, a Stam Naziros is 30 days, a regular Nazir, first Stam Nazir, it's 30 days, so to here, it's 30 days. Just as a Kohen, just as basically a Nazir is supposed to let his hair grow, a pear, for 30 days, so the Kohen can't let it grow more than 30 days. Nazir group we know, and how do we know a Nazir is 30 days? And Rav Nasta, Stam Nazir Shalosh Yom, because a standard Naziros is 30 days, we know, and Amakra, Yihiyu, it says you should be the Gramatia Tlas Navi, and Yihiyu, its word used in the pasuk has the grammatia, the value, the numerical value of 30. As in Yud is 10, Hey is 5, Yud is 10, and Hey is 5, that's 30. Now, all the Rishonim point out here, we don't use grammatias to actually learn things out. That's just a nice preparation of Torah. It's a nice way of teaching, but it's not real. Rather, it's halacha l'moshe Sinai that a stam nazir is 30 days. And just as a stam nazir is 30 days, so we compare the pair to Kohen, they should have to shave their mop every 30 days. Maybe what the Torah is saying is as follows. It's actually Pasuk Yecheskel. They should not allow hair to grow on their hair at all. I mean, they should constantly shave their head. You have Iksiv lo yishlach pera kedamaret. If it says they should not grow, hair at all, then I agree. Hash Iksiv pera lo yishluch. It says and the hair shall not grow. Pera lo habi means they should have hair. Shluch habi lo yishlach. They're not let it continuously grow. As in, they're allowed to have some hair. They just can't let it continuously grow. Great. So this is so now it is also a Kohen should have to get a haircut every 30 days. Just as we say, it's similar to drinking wine. Just as when it comes to drinking wine. At a time when they're entering the temple, they're not allowed to drink. At a time they're not entering the temple, they're allowed to drink. So to here, so long as there's no temple to enter into, they can grow their hair long. And it's Rebbe said, look, I would really say a Kohen or not allowed to drink ever. What can I do? The whole idea, the reason that this whole thing is disturbed, is something happens because there's no avoda. So according to who did Kohen drink wine nowadays? According to Rebbe Michal, Rabban Asher. This implies what though? This implies that it's the rabbis who say it's Asher to drink wine. And by the same token, it implies it's Asher for Kohen to grow hair. It's all rabbinic. So my time, huh? What is the reason? So, what's the problem with this? So, the problem is as follows. By saying this is Rebbe, this is all Rebbe, the implication is that the rabbis would say it's forbidden to drink wine. The problem is as follows, that when you look at when it comes to growing hair, the rabbis say you're allowed to grow your hair long. So that's now we have a problem. It's inconsistent. Meaning, if the rabbis say you're not allowed to drink wine nowadays, and you have to rely on rabbis to drink wine, so the rabbi should also say you're not allowed to grow your hair long. And we should rely on rabbi to allow their Kohanim to get a hair to let their hair grow long. But here we have everyone seems to agree Kohanim nowadays can let their hair grow long, but only rabbi says Kohanim can drink nowadays, whereas the Chum say Kohanim are not allowed to drink nowadays. They end up having to do the avoda. So says follows my time. What is the reason the rabbis say Kohanim can't drink? Because let's say right away, suddenly we hear the Beis Hamikdash is built and we need to be able to perform the temple service. We won't have any because the guy's drinking wine. Whereas cutting hair takes a minute. Get your weed whacker out and cut the guy's long hair and you can enter the temple and perform the service. Therefore, they were less concerned about long hair, but they're still concerned about wine. It takes longer to sober up. So look, a Kohen can sleep a little bit and he'll sober up really quickly. Kedarim bar Abba, Damar Rabbi bar Abba, Derech mil b'sheina kol shu magifin es hayayin. A trip of 1 mil and any amount of sleep causes the wine to the person will come unintoxicated to sober up. So why then the quantum forbid? Why then the rabbis forbid the quantum to drink wine nowadays? Just they can if basement just comes, they'll quickly sober up. So lav mi it marlei. So no, hello. Amar Nachman, Amar Rav Ua, lo shanela kishas a shir revius. This we all know. When is it true that taking a little nap will sober you up? When you drink a little bit, you drink a revius of wine. You guys totally stone drunk, so taking a nap is not gonna help it. I'll show you some revius. Kosh kein derech mitzvus. Then certainly travel disturbs him and scared by sugar. So and sleep will intoxicate him. Will actually cause the wine to get more intense apparently than not. So again, the point is that if a guy really drinks a lot. So then it's going to take a while to sober up. But it takes a while to sober up. He's not going to go into the base of Mikdash. Rashi Omer, Shisu Yayin, Dimachle Avoda. A Kohen who drinks wine invalidates the service. It means to say as follows, that this is a different reason. The other distinction between why the rabbis say Kohen can't drink wine nowadays versus they can have long hair is because in the temple itself, if in the event a Kohen who's drunk does the Avoda, not only is he liable to the death penalty, but also the Avoda he does is invalid. Whereas a Kohen with long hair, again, he shouldn't do so, but it's not going to invalidate the service if a Kohen with long hair performs the Avoda. So it says as follows. When it comes to drinking wine, which invalidates the service, the rabbis prohibit it. Which doesn't invalidate the service, the rabbis did not ban them nowadays. So now we're going to have a problem. Is this really true that these respective positions, that long hair doesn't invalidate the Avoda, or Shisu Yain does invalidate the Avoda? Misa. These are the following ones that get the death penalty for performing the Avoda in a state where they're unfit. Shisu Yayin, when it drinks, Upur Rosh, someone who has long hair. Bishlam Shisu Yayin, I understand why, therefore. I understand, said the Raisa, why Kohen who drinks wine gets a death penalty. The Hedyak Sibu, it's actually the explicit Pusik. Yayin Vishir Chal Tesh, says do not drink wine or an intoxicated drink. And the Pusik continues to go on, it says, and if you do so, effectively, and if you don't do so, you won't die. Implication is if you do so, you do die. Ela peru rosh b'nolan. How do we know that a Kohen who has long hair does get misa? We don't kill him. It's the wrong word to use. Either he gets misa b'day shemayim. God kills him effectively. God punishes him for it. How do we know? The ksiv roshim lo yigachu peru lo yishluchu. The pasuk says that they shall not shave their heads, and they shall not have their a lot of hair grow. And no Kohen shall drink wine when they come into the inner courtyard. These are Pesukim and Yecheskel. Since we juxtapose long hair to drink wine, just as one who drinks wine is liable to death by heaven, so too one who has long hair is liable to death by heaven. Okay, so from here we see that the Gemara basically says that one who has long hair is punishable by death, by heaven. Ominu. And so based off this, we can say just as therefore someone who drinks wine disqualifies the avoda, invalidates a service, not only they liable to misa a priori machavoda. So why don't we say as well that someone has long hair invalidates the avoda? Why are we splitting up here and saying, look, both of these people, someone has long hair and drinks wine, and are liable to misa deshamayim, mind, but only one who drinks wine gets invalidates the avoda, when after all we're learning one from the other. So he says as follows, lo. Because they only compare to each other with regard to death. With regard to Valavoda, they're not compared. So Omar Lay Ravila Vashi. Hi Makami the Asli Khazka my Omar. So this follows. Before Yechazkel came along, how would you know a Kohen with long hair is prohibited from doing the Avoda? After all, we're learning out of Yechazkel. So Omar Lay, Lotame, Khadam Rav Khista, Dabar Zem Taras Moshe Lamati, Udiri Kabbalah Lamati. Look, there are other dinim. He says we also learn out of Navi. For instance, it says in Yecheskel that someone who's uncircumcised, someone who has never had a circumcision, does not have bris milah, can't do the avoda as well. Hi, makami dasu Yecheskel man the amra. Before Yecheskel came along, how do we know that Cohen who's uncircumcised in Ariel cannot perform the service? Ella, rather, gamrila. This is a halachic lamoshmi Sinai. That someone who's an RL can't do service, as well as someone who's long hair can't perform the service. And Yechezkel came along and found some sort of scriptural verse for it. Hachanami gamer gamer le. So to here we have a scriptural verse. Yechezkel v'asmachra gamer lechel amisa lechul avodah lo gamri. So really, it says as follows: halachic lamoshmi Sinai. We know both that a Kohen with long hair is not able to do the avoda. We also know Lachomish Sinai that Hakomish one here does not address the invalidity of Avodah. Comes along the Pasuk Yecheskel and he says, and how do we know a Kohen with long hair can't do the Avodah? Well, Lachomish Sinai, I'll give you a scriptural allusion to it, and that's the fact that we compare the long hair to drinking wine. Excellent. Okay, so that's all there. Next. So we said anything written in Bigel's Tanis that you don't yuldize. The fun of Aser, Lacher Butter. So beforehand is also the day beforehand, whereas after one is allowed to. Tanu Rabbanon, Elon Yomen, Glowless Sinus Behem. Here the following days we're not allowed to fast. Umiksaw saying the Lonely Spur Mahon. And on some of them, one is not even allowed to yuldize. Reish Rechel, the Nisan, the Atim Nabe, from the Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the eighth day of Nisan, Iskim Temida. The Tamid offering was established. And therefore, one's not the lowest behind. Therefore, one's not allowed to yield just on these days. Certainly, one cannot fast. And from the eighth day of Nisan until the end of Pesach, meaning today, then one's not allowed to yield just on these days as well, and certainly not allowed to fast. Amar Mar, Nisan Atim Nabei, from Shlosh Nisan until the eighth day of Nisan, Iskin Tmidi. Talmud Rav is brought. Therefore, one is not allowed to yield just on these days. So why do we need to say from Rosh Chodesh? Say from the second day of Nisan. So now we're getting a little almost pedantic here, but he says like it says from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to the eighth day, one can't fast. It's like 1 minute. Rosh Chodesh Gufal Yom Tov Uvdaser. I know already on Rosh Chodesh one's not allowed to fast. It's considered Yom Tov. Therefore, why? Or the Gil's Tanis is trying to teach us something new. We should say from the second day of Nisan until the eighth day, one cannot fast. And I know already the Rosh Chodesh one's not allowed to fast. Amarav Loisrael Oser Yom Shlofanov. Because by saying from this day, it's also prohibiting the day beforehand, as we just said a minute ago. She says as follows. Well, 1 minute. If on a holiday, which is enacted by the rabbis, the day beforehand one is not allowed to fast, so certainly on Rosh Chodesh one's not allowed to fast. So I don't understand, therefore, why we have to say on Rosh Chodesh one's not allowed to fast, and after all, we already know it because it's Rosh Chodesh. And if you tell me the whole reason is to tell us the day beforehand, you're also not allowed to fast, well, certainly Rosh Chodesh, the day beforehand, you're not allowed to fast. So the Rosh Chodesh Deraisa, the Gemara says, no. Actually, the distinction you want to point out, the point you want to make, the Rosh Chodesh Deraisa, is the very reason that limits the principle and says that the day beforehand you're allowed to fast. Wait, 1 minute, what's going on? Here it says as follows. Rosh Chodesh Deraisa, Reis lo bayi chizuk. It says as follows. Since Rosh Chodesh is biblical, people are not going to violate it. Therefore, we don't need to strengthen it by saying, even so, this is so holy the day beforehand, you're not allowed to fast. Whereas when it comes to things that are rabbinic, since people treat it lightly, we add on the day beforehand to kind of stress just how important it is that you say the day beforehand also one's not allowed to fast. So again, the point we're trying to say is as follows. On Rosh Chodesh, there's no need to strengthen it because it's a biblical day. Therefore, you're allowed to fast the day beforehand. Whereas on a day that's the rabbis enacted, you're not allowed to fast the day beforehand. Therefore, the answer to our question we ask as follows. We say, why do you have to state, because time is from the Rosh Chodesh until the eighth day, just say from the second day to the eighth day. The answer is to tell us that even the day before Rosh Chodesh, one is not allowed to fast. And the reason we have to say that is because if it was just on the second day to the eighth day, yes, we know we wouldn't be allowed to fast Rosh Chodesh. We wouldn't have known the day beforehand. And what's the proof of this? The Tanya, I may assume Gilas Tainis, the days that are written in Gilas Tainis, Lifneim Lechem Asur, beforehand and afterwards, one's not allowed to fast. Shabbos Yom Tov, Tein Asurin, on Shabbos Yontif, they themselves, one's not allowed to fast. Lifneim Lechem Motar, but before and after, you're allowed to. Umay Hefer Ben Zel Zen, why are we differentiating from Shabbos Yontif and other minor holidays? Hello, Divrei Torah, of a Divrei Torah, and Tzorin Chizuk. Hello, Divrei Sofrin, the Divrei Sofrin, Tzrichin Chizuk. Oh, we'll stop over here. I wish you all a wonderful day.